Please bow your heads and pray with me. Father, we come this night, gathered before the cross, the starkness of the room. Help us understand what you've done for us, Jesus, that we might be free, forgiven, and hope for eternity. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus knew that by now everything had been completed. And in order to make the scripture come true, he said, "I am thirsty." A bowl was there of cheap wine or vinegar. So a sponge was soaked in the wine, the vinegar, put on a stalk of hyssop, and lifted up to his lips. Jesus drank the wine, the vinegar, and then said, "It is finished." It's been 3 hours. It's the third hour. It's the final hour. It's 3 p.m. Jesus spent as far as energy, gasping his last breaths, is thirsty. He can hardly speak, but he says the words that fulfill the scripture, "I am thirsty." That soldier, he fixes on a sponge on the end of a hyssop branch, sour wine, really vinegar. It was terribly bitter. A horrific last moment for Jesus. It took every ounce of energy for him to lift his head and for him to say, "It is finished." Scripture then says he bows his head and gave up his spirit. For those that are gathered around the cross that day, the emotion, cut it with a knife. It was heavy. The impact of what Jesus had said didn't yet occur to them. It's not till later that they understood what he had just said. "It is finished." John has written his gospel in Greek. And that's a Greek word. "It is finished." Tetelestai. A very common Greek word, a Greek word that all of the crowd would have known and have heard in many places. Tetelestai. When a servant has completed a difficult job and comes back to his master to show him the job that he has accomplished, the master says, "Tetelestai." When the Jewish people come to the temple with their sacrifice and present it to the high priest for him to examine, is it appropriate? He says the equivalent Hebrew word, tetelestai, meaning your offer is accepted, it's perfect. The merchant in the marketplace, as he interacts with the person buying the goods and he fills out the slip, the bill of sale, once the money is given and the goods are given to the person, the merchant says, "Tetelestai, paid in full. I'm satisfied." The artist that creates the beautiful painting, the sculptor that creates the beautiful sculpture, stands away from the beauty of his work and says, "Tetelestai. Tetelestai." When a boy is given the task of memorizing scripture before the evening meal, the daughter is given the task of making the dessert for the meal. When the boy presents his scripture and the daughter her dessert, the parent says, "Tetelestai. Well done. I'm proud of you." That's what Jesus was saying. It wasn't words of defeat, it's finished. I've been done in. Satan has got the upper hand. No, it's a proclamation of the satisfaction that I've completed what I've been called to do. I've accomplished a work. I believe it's one of those moments in which God would have said from the heavens, the Father, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." You see, if the emotions weren't so high, the people in the crowd, the servants, those that had offered sacrifices, merchants and people that bought from the merchants, artists and parents, they all would have understood that Jesus was proclaiming that his work was complete. What he had come for, he had accomplished. Tetelestai. He had accomplished reconciliation, the possibility of reconciling us to Father in heaven. Here at St. Nicholas Church, we cycle through different Eucharistic prayers when I'm saying the prayers at the altar for communion. And one of the ones we use is Eucharistic Prayer D. And it captures something that has happened. And it expresses so clearly the need for the Savior. "We acclaim you, Holy Lord, glorious in power. Your mighty works reveal your wisdom and love. You formed us in your own image, giving the whole world into our care, so that in obedience to you, our Creator, we might rule and serve all your creatures." That was God's first intent. To create a perfect world, in which he did, and to give us dominion over all the creatures he's created under his authority. That was his intent. But as we all know, it's not the way in which we live. The prayer goes on. "When our disobedience took us far from you." Exactly. We cease to understand that we're serving under his authority. We take the authority and says, "It's mine. I don't need you. Thanks, but no thanks." We violate the rules of the created order, and we think we know better than the one that created the order and created the things within the order. Our disobedience, our rebellion, took us far from him. The prayer goes on. "But you did not abandon us to the power of death. In your mercy, you came to our help, so that in seeking you, we might find you." Exactly. Jesus came that he might remedy the problem, that he might take the penalty for our disobedience on his back to the cross, that we might be free from the consequence of our sin. Wow. Why? Because the Father loves us. That's why we call it Good Friday. We celebrate a horrible event in the life of Jesus, crucifixion. And we call it Good Friday because it affords us forgiveness, peace, and eternity. But it was far from a good day for him. The weight of the sin of the world, your sin, my sin, all those that have lived, all those that are living, all those that will be born yet before he comes back, the sin of the world on the shoulders of Jesus as he went to the cross. It's no wonder that Jesus asked in the garden, "May this cup pass from me." But he agreed to go. And it's no wonder from the cross that at some point he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's at that point that he feels the weight of my sin, your sin, all of sin on him, and the pain of his sacrifice, not for his sin, but for ours. Paul writes, God has shown us how much he loves us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We were God's enemies, but he made us friends through the death of his son, Jesus. Jesus understood that what happened that hour at the cross was the accomplishment of the love of the Father coming down among us and dying for us. Jesus completed the work to tetelestai. The reason he came was fulfilled, to tetelestai. Well done, good and faithful servant. It's perfect. Tetelestai. Jesus proclaims his last words from the cross. It is finished. There's nothing we can do to add to it. There's nothing we can do to subtract from it. I don't need to do anything more to win God's favor towards me, or to buy his forgiveness, but to receive it, that which he has done for me through Jesus on the cross. Have you received it? Have you embraced it? Maybe you have, but life has sort of gotten in the way and you've sort of put it aside and you've sort of gotten back into the bargaining with God and saying, well, you know, I'll be better the next time. He said, that's not what it's about. Maybe some things have gotten in the way. In the Episcopal Church, we don't often have altar calls, but we're going to have an altar call. I'm not going to ask you to walk the center aisle. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. So if you just close your eyes for a moment, you don't have to get up. You just stay where you are. And I want you, as your eyes are closed, to visualize the suffering of Jesus. The pain, the agony. And as you visualize the suffering of Jesus on the cross, understand it in the context of the love of the Father. Whether you speak it audibly or just within your own spirit, thank him for that expression of love. And ask God to wrap you tightly with his love, to renew that sense of freedom and forgiveness, and tell him you receive all that he's done for you at the cross. You ask that it be real in your life, that your sins would be washed, forgiveness would be granted, and eternity would be your hope. Keep your eyes closed in just a few moments after some prayers, and as the cross comes up the center aisle and sits before us, you have the opportunity in that little sheet of paper that you were given earlier to write that which has gotten in the way of Jesus and you. The sin that has marked your life this last year or the last years, that which you know would be displeasing to him, write it on that little sheet of paper you received when you came in. And after the cross has come forward, you're going to have an opportunity to bring that little sheet of paper that only you and God will see, so you can be as specific as you'd like. You'll put it in the glass bowl on the table. And then you'll take a nail. Because it's your sin and my sin that sent him to the cross. and you'll pound that nail into the cross. Go back to your seat. A visualization of what you've just received if you've sat in prayer. Jesus washing you and cleansing you because you've received the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Tetelestai, it is finished. Father God, we thank you for a love that we can never understand. It goes far deeper than we could ever express in ourselves. Thank you for that love. Thank you, Jesus, for your suffering and your death that affords us forgiveness. And Jesus, we receive it, we embrace it, we accept it, that it may be real in each one of our lives. In Christ's name, amen.